Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am Kip Stube. This evening, we are discussing new visa restrictions to be imposed on Zimbabweans blocking citizens from participating in elections. We'll also take a look at alleged child trafficking along the pipe to the Musina border. Namhla sixoxa ngezithembiso zamavisa ezintsha ezisanda kubikwa ngele Melika ezafakelwa abavimba izizalwane zakwele Zimbabwe ukuba zivote ngemfanelo. Saphuza njalo langodaba lwabantwana abachapha umngcele eMusina bengela maphepha aqondileyo kumbe abazali. Before we discuss this and other issues, let's take a brief look at what's happening elsewhere. In the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas, both sides claim to be the victim of war crimes and are preparing to present legal cases to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. For VOA, Linda Grenstein reports from Jerusalem. The court's chief prosecutor heard from both Israelis and Palestinians during a visit to Israel and the West Bank.
International Criminal Court Chief Prosecutor Karim Khan toured the ruins of Israeli communities that Hamas gunmen attacked on October 7th. The attackers killed more than 1,200 Israelis and took 240 others as hostages, most of them civilians. Khan listened to the testimony of survivors and family members of the hostages, calling the attacks serious international crimes that shock the conscience of humanity.
Hostage taking represents a grave breach to the Geneva Conventions. It represents a specific offense under the Rome Statute. And I call for the immediate release of all hostages taken from Israel and for their safe return to their families.
Lawyers for the Hostage and Missing Families Forum, a group of families of the hostages, say they want Khan to immediately open an investigation on behalf of hundreds of October 7th victim families even before the war ends.
There's no question about jurisdiction against Hamas. There's no question about it being wide-scale and systematic in an international crime against humanity, war crime and genocide.
But Palestinians argue that it is Israel that has been violating international law by its military campaign in Gaza, which has killed more than 15,000 people, a majority of them women and children, according to the Hamas-controlled health ministry in Gaza.
The legal situation, literally, it's war crimes, crimes against humanity. There is ethnic cleansing, genocide taking place in the Gaza Strip. What's going on? Rule of jungle, not the rule of law.
ICC prosecutor Khan addressed Palestinian war crimes claims against Israel when he met with Palestinian Authority leaders in the West Bank town of Ramallah. But many Palestinian human rights organizations boycotted his visit, accusing him of favoring Israeli claims over longstanding Palestinian charges.
I've also spoken to individuals that have lost their families, loved ones, children, wives, parents in the rubble of Gaza. I have made it crystal clear. The law is not some cosmetic adornment that can be disregarded. It's a fundamental requirement that must be complied with.
Besides the case before the International Criminal Court on behalf of the Israeli victims' families, the State of Israel will conduct military trials of about 900 Hamas militants arrested on October 7th, including charges of sexual violence as a war crime. While the war in Gaza continues to rage on the battlefield, Israeli and Palestinian legal activists prepare for a different kind of fight in international court. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Jerusalem.
Thank you very much, Linda. As debate over loans and trade relations with China heats up in Kenya, the Chinese embassy in Nairobi is looking to boost cultural ties with the Kenyans by launching food extravaganzas. Victoria Amunga has more from Nairobi.
At a hotel in Nairobi, Kenya's capital, dozens of people gather to watch this display of Chinese culture. This performance ushers in a food festival sponsored by the Chinese Embassy and hosted by Kenya's China Teachers Association. President of Sync International Education, Michelle Chang, says their goal is to promote Chinese culture and keep the relationship between Kenya and China strong.
This year, 2023, is the 60th anniversary of Kenya and China diplomatic relationships set up. So I think we should keep in touch more and more and closer and to become like good diplomatic relations within both countries.
Forging stronger ties through cultural events can also bridge language differences, says economist Eric Musau.
European countries generally have always had very strong ties, looking at the Commonwealth or America, the common language is always a big positive between Kenya and most of Europe as well as America. So for the Chinese, there's that gap, especially around the language barrier. They've been trying to encourage more Kenyans to study the language.
Chinese presence in Kenya has been growing over the years. Chinese companies have built massive projects in Kenya, like the standard gauge railway between Nairobi and Mombasa. At the same time, Kenya's central bank says the trade deficit between Nairobi and Beijing grew to $3.62 billion in 2022, up from $3.51 billion the previous year. Musau says the infrastructure is beneficial for Kenya, but the trade disparity is a challenge for diplomatic relations.
In terms of exports to their market, you're looking at just a couple of $100 million. So the balance of trade is really in their favor. And when you look at the structure of the economies and where, for example, Kenya wants to go, it's very unlikely that you'll ever have a very good overlap in terms of a balance of trade compared to, let's say, America, where exports and imports are almost on balance.
Balance is something that Steve Wakoli says he was missing in his life before he learned the Chinese language and martial arts like Kung Fu. He now makes his living teaching Chinese and performing martial arts.
I started receiving invitations from companies for performances. I went to schools like Chinese Confucius schools. I went to Kenyatta University, went to Nairobi universities for performance.
But Wakoli is an exception. Many Kenyans are uneasy by what they say is too much Chinese engagement in Kenya, especially in the retail sector.
Come over here.
We used to buy clothing from China, but now they have their own store here, and what they sell is cheap. Our customers all go to their store to find cheap, cheap products.
Because of the infrastructure projects, Kenya's debt to China stood at $6.3 billion as of March 2023, almost two-thirds of the country's total bilateral external debt. Analysts say cultural programs such as this food festival aims to ease uncertainty caused by what some Kenyans see as unbalanced economic relationship. Victoria Amunga, VOA News, Nairobi.
Thank you very much there, Victoria. South Africa's Water Management Authority insists that last Saturday and Sunday, they stopped and seized 42 passes at Patrick's Water Post and found 443 unaccompanied children. PMA says they denied these children entry into South Africa because they did not meet the necessary requirements for entering the country. On the other hand, Public Service and Welfare Minister July Moyo is quoted by an online publication, ZimLife, as saying only 124 children were handed over to the department. Some of the children have since been reunited with their parents, but another minister says this never took place. And back to the topic of the day. The United States has introduced a new visa restriction policy for undermining democracy in Zimbabwe. In a statement, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, under this policy, USA will pursue visa restrictions for individuals believed to be responsible for or complicit in undermining democracy in Zimbabwe. Such acts may include manipulating or rigging the electoral process, disenfranchising voters or preventing individuals from exercising their right to vote, excluding members of the political opposition from electoral processes, restricting the ability of civil society organizations to operate and engage in democratic governance or human rights-related activities, or intimidation of voters and election observers through threats or acts of physical violence. Blinken said they may also include engaging in corrupt acts, including bribery, that undermine the electoral process, interfering with independent operation of the judiciary during its adjudication of electoral cases, or abusing or violating human rights in Zimbabwe. Family members of such persons may also be subject to these restrictions. President Emmerson Mnangagwa and his ZANU-PF party won the August 23 harmonized elections amid claims of electoral fraud. Some observers said elections did not meet regional and international standards. The opposition has rejected the outcome of the elections. Now, let's take a brief break. Stay tuned.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Welcome back to our show. Please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live streaming VOA on VOA YouTube, that is VOA Zimbabwe. Joining us right now to discuss this issue is Mr. Itai Marombeza, a Citizens Coalition for Change activist based in USA, Mr. Xavier Zavari of UK, of the ZANU-PF UK branch, and we expect Mr. Velampile Ndlovu to actually join us too. He's an immigration expert based in South Africa. So welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you, Gideon.
Yeah, thank you so much. So we'll start with you, Mr. Marombeza. So there are these visa, new visa restrictions that will be imposed on people that actually impede democracy in Zimbabwe. What's your take on that?
Okay, thank you. I think these visa restrictions that have just been announced are very much consistent with the outcome of the heavily illegitimized electoral outcome that we just came out of. And all the issues that this policy speaks to are very much also consistent with the reports that came out from the observer, various observer missions, from the SADC observer, election observer mission, to the AU and the Commonwealth. And so it does really address those particular aspects. And I think once they are implemented, they will send the correct signal to address things that we as the opposition have always been talking about, the flagrant abuse of, you know, the constitution by the regime in Harare to manipulate electoral outcomes. And so I am very much in agreement with this particular policy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marombeza. Stay on the line. Let's have Mr. Zavari. What's your take on this issue?
Well, what we are having here is the anger of a wounded bull just doing just about anything which it thinks will work. The Americans have got a dog that is called CIS. They support in action in Zimbabwe. They are
your phone is cutting, Mr. Zwabari, so we cannot take we are not too clear there, so we'll call you back in some few minutes. I think we have to fix this phone there. Our producers are working on that. So let's get back to Mr. Marondeza again. So it seems as if there are people who are saying this may not work because sanctions have been imposed on some ZANU-PF officials and nothing has changed over the years. So what is going to be different now? That's the question.
Okay. I do understand that the United States of America, whatever policies that they come up with, are consistent with their own foreign policy. And how that reflects in terms of the necessary changes that we expect on the ground in terms of the Zimbabwean politics, it firmly remains our responsibility as Zimbabweans and as the opposition. The international community, just like the United States has done there, is to send the right signal that they will not entertain such malpractices and behavior by such regimes as that which is in Harare, and restrict them in as much as they can and to the extent that as the United States of America can. So one of the things that we have observed over the years is that some of these top ZANU-PF officials have double standards. They want to enjoy, you know, moving around the globe, particularly visiting the United States themselves and their families. Meanwhile, they are the ones who are advancing all these activities that derail and disenfranchise the Zimbabwean citizens to enjoy their rights as enshrined in the Constitution, which also speaks to the elections themselves.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think Mr. Zwabari is back now. I think we can hear you now very clearly, Mr. Zwabari. So give us your take on this issue.
Well, what we have with the United States is nefarious activities that are aimed at subverting the will of the Zimbabwean people. It is basically saying to us as Africans, as black Zimbabweans, that we are not capable of knowing what political party we want to vote for to govern our country. They are trying to force us to do what they want for our country. We have had democratic elections. We take no lessons from America as far as democracy is concerned. For us, we fought for this democracy. Our fathers went to war. Our brothers, our sisters went to war to be given the right to vote on a one man, one vote. So we can't be taught democracy by Americans. We have clear electoral laws that everyone in the country knows. From the last elections, everyone had an opportunity to campaign. Even now, as we approach by-elections on the 9th of September of December, all political parties that are interested are campaigning freely. So for the Americans to come and tell us that our democracy is not adequate, we are alienating voters.
Can I pose a question there, just a brief one? So it seems as if many people are complaining about abductions. And recently we know that there was a pastor Tafumana Messiah, who was allegedly killed by state security agents. And his assailants are still at large. They are roaming the streets, maybe in Zimbabwe somewhere. but nothing's happening. So maybe that's why the Americans are saying no. You see, there are some people who are impeding democracy in many ways in Zimbabwe through using violence and other means. Your reaction to that in some 1 minute?
That's complete nonsense and rubbish. Okay, if it was that case, the case of people dying, which happens in every country, okay? In America, people die more, okay, for criminal activities. In America, people are banned from voting on allegations of being criminals or having served a three-month jail prison sentence. In an American state, a black person mainly is alienated from voting. In Zimbabwe, people vote freely, and we voted for ZANU-PF. And in the 9th of December by-elections, people are going to vote for ZANU-PF as well because they are voting for policies that ZANU-PF has compared to CCC. CCC has got no policies. Apart from saying, we want democracy, you are already having democracy. That is why you are campaigning. That is why you are putting forward candidates to participate in elections, because it is a democratic process. Zimbabweans vote for policies, and ZANU-PF has got policies that resonate with them. If Americans are not happy with that, that's none of our business.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zobari. I'll cut you short there. I'll come back to you. Let's take a caller, and then we'll go to Mr. Marondes. Caller, how are you?
Fine, you, sir.
Fine. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Prince Mavenge.
Yeah, do you want to speak in English, Shona or Ndebele?
Shona in English is fine.
Yeah, go ahead, say. What's your take on this?
No?
Oh, I think he got cut off, so we've got a problem there. Mr. Malondeza, can you a quick reaction to what Mr. Zobari is saying?
Yeah, it is very unfortunate that we have such characters who masquerade as ZANU-PF functionaries and try to propel a propaganda that has no sense at all. The outcome of the elections that we had is something that is on the public domain, that all the observer missions, the international observer missions, including SADC, because ZANU-PF had always wanted to portray any other international organizations or countries like the United States of America as an enemy when they bring out all these machinations that this regime has done in the past. But this time, even the SADC observer mission did highlight the deficiencies and the illegitimacy of this electoral process. So to try and label what the United States have or is saying in that policy as something that is, a regime change agenda and all that, it is hogwash. It is time that this regime owns up to all that which it is, the deficiencies that it has caused, and the problems that we continue to experience as citizens in Zimbabwe at the hands of this regime. The constitutionally enshrined rights that it has continued to disrespect, to tread upon, this should be condemned. And even these elections that he's talking about, the by-elections, these cases of abductions, persecutions, and killings continue to go on. And these are instigated by the same ZANU-PF regime. And it is sad for anyone to try and cover up all this, which is in the full glare of both the regional and the national community, to see what exactly this animal called ZANU-PF is. So we would want to even urge the regional leaders in SADC, at AU, and the rest of the international community, including those to the east, the Chinese and so forth, to take action and denounce such characteristics that the ZANU-PF regime continue to portray and against its own citizens.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Marambeze. So we've got some callers who are trying to get in the show, but I think the airlines are very bad. Let's just read one or two messages posted on VOA Ndebele and VOA Shona. What Busan Gata who says these restrictions may work because when the president goes to the United Nations for the UN General Assembly, he always travels with a lot of people where they buy so many things and they do shopping at will there. So they must be banned. Then we've got another person who wrote here, Robert, who says, this is an NPF fellow who's talking here. No. He's talking nonsense. We don't want to hear what he's saying. So that's his opinion. And then we've got Swankosi, who says, please debate in a very fair and credible manner. So let's go back to Mr. Zawari, because we have left it just a few minutes. So Mr. Zawari, wrapping up here, I know that you and Mr. Malondeze are totally different in terms of your thinking, and your parties are focusing on different things. So now, at the end of the day, there's this issue that Zimbabweans, will face definitely these visa restrictions. So what is your parting shot on this?
Zimbabweans are being punished because we've got foolish people who think that I am masquerading as ZANU-PF. I am not masquerading. I am a fully paid member of ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF is voted and supported by people based on its policies. The policies that brought democracy to ZANU-PF, the policies that educated everyone in ZANU-PF, the policies that built Zimbabwe as it is right now, the infrastructure that is being built through President Emmerson Mnangagwa's leadership is why people vote for ZANU-PF. All these other nonsense of people who are failures, who have failed to deliver clean water in Harare, who have failed to deliver a cleaner city in Mutare in Bulawayo. Simple basic service delivery. The CC have failed to do that. Yet they want to tell us how democracy works, how to run the country that we fought for. That's complete nonsense, complete rubbish.
Thank you.
By people because of our good policies, our good education policies, our good housing policies, our good infrastructure development policies. That is why people
Thank you, Mr. Zawari. Thank you so much, Mr. Zawari. 1 minute for you, Mr. Imarombez. Just 1 minute.
Yes, I think anyone who is in the right, in his or her right frame of mind, who is a Zimbabwean and not someone who is just speaking from us or just, hallucinating to please his handlers, no, the facts on the ground in Zimbabwe are so clear for everyone to see the failures, the that this regime has over the years is there for everyone to see. Even as we speak now, the budget that was presented by the minister, Muthuli Ncube, it tells you the bigger picture of how this regime has totally failed and failed the citizens of Zimbabwe. So I would want to probably engage people who are progressive in terms of what they want to see.
Thank you. Time is up. Thank you.
Yes. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That brings us to the end of our show today. We wish to thank our guests, viewers and listeners at home. Be sure to tune in tomorrow here on Live Talk. This is Kip Stubbe in Washington, D.C. saying good night, Zimbabwe.